Our last speaker for this panel is none other than Helen Stuckey, who's currently undertaking PhD research at Flinders University in South Australia as part of the ARC-funded project Play It Again. You may have heard of it. Her previous qualifications are a Bachelor of Arts from the University of Melbourne, Bachelor of Architecture from RMIT, and a Master of Arts from Swinburne University. She is a curator whose recent curatorial practice has focused on the exhibition of video games as cultural artefacts. At the Australian Centre for the Moving Image, she initiated, produced, curated the Games Lab from 2005 to 2008, a dedicated exhibition space for exploring game culture. She has worked as a curatorial advisor for major international exhibitions, including the recent Game Masters of 2012. She was also the director of the Games Program at RMIT University from 2010 to 2011. Please welcome Helen Stuckey.
I'd just like to acknowledge Roger Keating and Gregor Wiley, who are here from SSG. And I'd also like to thank Joyce Keating, who scanned all the Run 5 magazines for the Play It Again archive. So my paper sort of builds on both Fiona's and Ben's, so I'm well positioned. So I'll begin. Between 1986 and 1996, Australian Game Developers Strategic Studies Group published 25 issues of their in-house magazine, Run 5. A subscription-based magazine, it provided information on SSG's games to their audience of dedicated wargamers. A set of the magazines donated to the Play It Again project offers an extraordinary document of the story of SSG. The magazines contain a detailed account of their games, insights into their design decisions, and a glimpse at the company's highs and lows. The magazines provide a sense of the character of the company, its culture, and the rapport they cultivated with their audience. This paper looks at how Run 5 works as an impressive archive of SSG for this era, how the magazine not only played a vital role in allowing SSG to communicate directly to their audience, but how it gave their audience a voice, creating an archive not just of the company, but also documentation of the player community of this era. In examining the relationship that Run 5 created with its community, I consider how this activity relates to recent discussion on computer games and participatory culture, reflecting on Sorwell's observation that accounts of user productivity in the era of the microcomputer have largely been overlooked in games theory. Her research addresses the user activity associated with the arrival of the microcomputer, when games were typed from listings and players built their own kit computers. Distinct from these early microcomputing hobbyists, Run 5 addresses itself directly to an existing community of highly literate wargamers. As pioneering designers of computer-based wargamers, SSG wanted to provide wargamers with computer games which that were as versatile and customizable as the hex-based board games that defined their culture. Part of Run 5's role was to help educate their audiences about wargaming on the computer. A thematic examination of Run 5's articles reveals the magazine's design focus. The magazine can be read as a modding guide to SSG's game systems. And I conclude this paper with some observations on how SSG's choice to share their historic magazines on the Play It Again archive has reignited discussions with its community, and the relationship of these original fans to this material is not simply one of nostalgia. They reflect on the value of these historic game materials, these historic game materials as a design resource. I'll just skip through these because Fiona's already introduced you to SSG, but that for those in the audience who've never played a board war game, that's what it looks like. So keep that in mind. And also, Reach for the Stars, which Fiona spoke about, remember that it was actually based on a board game itself. So Run 5 was SSG's in-house magazine. It conceived as a quarterly magazine, but didn't quite hit the mark every year. There are 25 issues in a decade. As a company organ, it was entirely dedicated to supporting SSG's games, with the occasional review of competitors' work that they admired. Its primary content was scenarios that could be entered into the appropriate SSG game to allow the player to play a completely different battle. These scenarios require the terrain, weather, and all the forces within to be reconfigured. For their 1984 air and sea battle game, Carriers of War, Keating built a design kit for Ian Trout, who was not a programmer and didn't possess a deep knowledge of computing. Keating designed a system whose interface allowed Trout to input his precise military knowledge into the data into the system. The data sat separately from the routines that Keating created to run the game modules, making it easy to reconfigure the game for other scenarios and to build scenarios without programming skills. Each issue of Run 5 featured a number of scenarios for SSG's game systems. These were published with engaging narrative introductions, establishing the historical facts and setting the scene. If they're examples of speculative history, which was a popular genre, they would frame the what-if question to the moment in history. So their scenarios maps, and this is one of Gregor's, and tabulated data were published in the magazines. These provided the information for terrain, weather, ships and squadrons, scenario length, and all the task group activities associated with the various forces. This is a tiny sample. This is what most of the magazine looks like. they required a lot of data entry. Much more than what I've suggested to you. In their first editorial, Ian Trout explains the benefits of the magazines and the joys of typing in a scenario. In the second issue, he announces that scenarios will also be available on disc. But these discs offerings were not the end of Run 5, as the magazine played a bigger role than just handing over data for scenarios. Oops. Okay. Dedicated computer magazines first appeared in the 1980s. Theorist Jaakko Sunnemann, Mio Consala and Graham Kilpatrick have all argued their vital role magazines played in defining what are computer games and the development of the gamer identity. Kirkpatrick's examination of British computer game magazines from 1980 onwards demonstrates how game magazines change from treating games as just part of microcomputing to their existence as a distinct kind of cultural artifacts. While Sunnemann's close reading of the Finnish magazine Microbitty shows an emergence of a game-specific discourse displaying games' historical awareness. Consala's work reveals how games magazines actively defined what it is to be a gamer. Run 5 was engaged with defining what a computer game is, but rather than belonging to the recent cultural construction of games and gaming, associated with the microcomputer, it belonged to the established tradition of war games, and in particular, war game magazines. Jim Dunnigan, editor of Strategy and Tactics magazines, Wargame magazines date back to the 1960s with publications like The General, the house organ of American publishers Avalon Hill. In the 1970s and early 1980s, there were numerous wargame magazines. And Jim Dunnigan, editor of Strategy and Tactics magazine, proposes that largely because wargamers were such well-educated and literate lot, there are a disproportionate number of magazines serving the hobby. So, in a pre-internet age, the wargame magazines served an important role building community and informing gamers about new product. In fact, Greg Costigan claims the cancellation of Strategy and Tactics magazines as a major factor in the decline of the wargame. And you can see, this is from an article written in the 70s, but you can see the numbers of wargames being sold. There's over 450 dedicated English language magazines at that time, for what was always quite a discreet hobby. So Run 5 is a continuation of this transition, but it offered something different to its readership. Run 5 taught wargamers how to play computer games. It's easy to assume that would be some natural evolution from the board game to the computer, particularly as board-based war games are fundamentally procedural systems. In 1981, Chris Crawford, one of computer games' founding fathers and agent provocateurs, warns of this misconception, stating, quote, "War games on personal computers will not be just like board games. A computer war game must be optimized to take advantage of all the strengths of the computer. At the same time, it must avoid the weaknesses of the technology. They will necessarily be very different from board games," unquote. Crawford states that the hardware of the microcomputer is hardly up to the task of handling the complex system of real war games, and the few programmers smart enough to write a good war game, are smart enough to be doing something else. However, everyone seemed to agree on the advantages of the computer for war games. Instantaneous setup, no maps and counters to keep track of, rules that are easier to learn as the computer does all the bookkeeping on movement, combat, terrain, weather, etc., and all the calculations, the endless calculations. The advantages of board wargaming, however, was its transparent system. Dunnigan explains how board wargamers had to learn the systems of games before they could play them. Echoing. Players were expected to have intimate understanding of the game's rule sets. Basically, they needed to deconstruct the game to play it. This he identifies as the central appeal of war games, lamenting that computer games do not reveal their internal workings, reducing the kinds of engagement that they offer. Matthew Kirschenbahn shares this appreciation of board war games, describing them as functioning paper computers, open systems that could be taken apart and put back together again. Compared to them, a computer game is a black box, with the source code and underlying model is out of reach. SSG addresses this cultural shift by using Run 5 to provide its readers with comprehensive information about how their game systems work. Their games already came packaged with design manuals. For example, Carriers of War has a 15-page player manual and a 25-page design manual. But in Run 5, Roger Keating penned a series of articles explaining to readers what the hidden systems within the computer do. In issue 1, Keating explains his approach to designing in machine language. In later issues, he talked readers through how the computer opponent operates, the challenges of creating artificial intelligence, programming for map generation, and techniques for database construction. Whilst playing computer games may not provide the design education that board games offered, through Run 5, SSG ensured the audiences were design literate and able to understand the nature and the constraints of the computer. Taken in combination with the publication of design notes and tutorials and the publication of technical data on ships and planes, plus the orders of battle, all to assist gamers to build their own scenarios, it's not difficult to characterise Run 5 as a design magazine. Each magazine has at least two scenarios. The scenarios themselves work as templates, reinforcing the magazine's design focus. And there were design competitions with winning scenarios published within the magazine. SSG cultivated a conversation with its audience. Run 5 was used to communicate directly to gamers about forthcoming games and workaday stuff like errata. There are regular Q&A columns with many queries addressing factors that were not transparent to the player due to the computer as black box. Players' letters reveal the most about... Players' letters, however, reveal the most about Run 5's user community. Unsurprisingly, there is a heavy US focus. But gamers did come from all over the world. There's a strong military presence stretching from generals to privates. Knowledge of military history is highly valued within this community. Design competitions for scenarios provide an opportunity for players to show off their military knowledge and their design skills. The scenario design tools are praised for the capacity for historical verisimilitude and are cited in many letters by players. For example, in April 1987, Robert Sendler states, "I own many computer games covering many subjects, but I find your games to be the most flexible and ultimately the most long-lasting. So I would like to put in my vote to continue structuring your games with the design kits." And Paul Nation describes how the design feature sets SSG apart from the competition, saying, "In fact, I think I have most all of SSI, another company, Grisby's games, and thought I enjoyed playing some of them until I found SSG and HOM. I spend more time trying to break their SSI, the competition, copy protection to modify the database than playing the game." We learn a lot about Run 5 readers when in 1989, SSG makes a direct appeal to its players regarding the changing commercial reality. As games have become more popular, more games enter the market, and there's now a struggle for retail shelf space. Historical war games are particularly struck, as computer games have become increasingly identified with accessible fun. Readers write back sharing information on where they purchased their game. Major Ronald Berkheimer promises to bring his influence to bear on the Army and Air Force exchange, enlightening us how games distributed within the military. Run 5 readers feel personally invested. One concerned reader writes to advise them to add copy protection, having witnessed the avid piracy at a gamers' meetup he attended. There's no time here today to list all the detailed ways that OneFive works as an archive, from the first issue in 1986 to the last in 1996. OneFive provides the commentary on the work being carried out by SSG, including valuable information on games that didn't get published and why. We also learn about the personalities of SSG's team. Gregor Wiley provides witty narrations of the in-house SSG game challenges. At the time, these were instructive how-to-plays. Now they form valuable historical records on the games as played by the designers. Tracked also are the changes to industry and how they impact on the company. Technology factors, such as which microcomputer was not profitable to create games for, and big changes, such as the introduction of CompuServe and Apple Link, allowing SSG community an opportunity for more direct contact. In conclusion, I'd like to share one of the responses Played Again received to its announcement that Run 5 would be scanned and shared online. Don Ursum's enthusiasm for the news was not fueled by nostalgia, but Run 5's value as a design aid. He wished to use SSG's Carriers of War to assist an author friend to game some of the threads of an alternative history in his next book. He writes, "Even today, in 2014, Carriers of War construction kit, that one is, seems the best ever classic naval warfare simulation, the only one allowing both ship and air operations to be accurately modelled. Run 5 magazine contained a wealth of new, now priceless how-to information on building extra ships and custom scenarios for Carriers of War, as well as similar coverage for other SSG games. As such, Run 5 is not just another old computer magazine, but a truly a goldmine of wargame information and a true piece of computing history. War games are an often forgotten part of the story of video games. Little attention has been paid to the central role that user-generated content played within this culture in the 1980s. Run 5 is an extraordinary record of SSG and game culture of the period. When it was first published, it addressed itself to teaching war gamers about the computer. It is fascinating now to witness its value as a design resource." Thank you.